Watch Party, a Murderbot fanfiction written by Shides Wright, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated Gen and features Murderbot, Gunthrin, and Rati. Summary: a former employee of the company arrives on Preservation. Gunthrin sat on a chair in the lounge, a mug of heavily sweetened coffee in one hand. He was annotating data in the feed and sub-vocalizing preliminary sequences that would, hopefully, shape themselves into a coherent report in the near future. Rati and SecUnit were also in the room, parsing another chunk of data. It had actually taken minimal wheedling on Rati's part to get SecUnit's help, and now it was tagging and analyzing data points at its usual dizzying speed. Rati reclined in another chair, with its feet propped up. A mug of tea sat mostly forgotten on the table at his side. SecUnit was flat on its back on the sofa, eyes trained blankly up at the ceiling. Its drones had settled into stationary positions around the room. The space was quiet, other than the occasional shifting of weight or half-spoken question. Do you have the p-value for... Oh, thanks. Does this sentence make any... The report began to take shape between them, building steadily in the feed. Gunthrin felt pristinely focused, in the way where he could see each piece of information scaffolding out before him, time and little distractions fading away. That was... until SecUnit bolted upright with a look of horror unfurling across its face. It had crossed the room and shut itself in the bathroom before he or Rati could so much as turn their heads. They stared at each other in confusion. Gunthrin raised an eyebrow. Rati shrugged. He sent a message on their shared channel. Rati, are you okay? What happened? No response. Gunthrin noticed movement out of the corner of his eye. The previously stationary intel drones had taken off and were circling near the ceiling like agitated bees. Rati shot another look at Gunthrin and rose from his chair. Gunthrin stood with him. Rati knocked softly on the bathroom door. SecUnit, what's wrong? After a long moment, a response popped into their channel. SecUnit, nothing. Rati's teeth caught his bottom lip. You don't lock yourself in the bathroom for nothing, he said. Gunthrin appreciated how his tone of voice could be both firm and gentle at once. He himself was a pendulum that swung between patronizing and abrasive. No response. If there's a problem, we want to help, Rati tried again. Gunthrin looked at one of the circling drones and nodded in agreement. There was silence on the other side of the door for almost 3 minutes. Then it opened suddenly, and Rati nearly toppled forward. SecUnit stood with one hand still on the handle. Under a furrowed brow, its eyes were pointed in the general area of Rati's shoulder, and its feed tag, which had just moments ago had been SecUnit, it, its, now read June, they, them. I have to go, it said. They said? Go? Go where? Rati's hand made an abortive flexing motion. Wait. The feed tag. His mind raced. Gunthrin didn't think it would change it unless... Off Preservation Station, he said. It wanted to leave. But it wouldn't be running away if any of the humans on the station were in danger, nor would it have changed its name on the feed to something human and nondescript. So that meant... You're in danger? Its glare shifted to his shoes. Yes, maybe. Guntherin suspected that that maybe was the only reason it wasn't already halfway to the embarkation zone. He felt his heart rate speed up. What's the situation? The glare at his shoes intensified. There was a faint sheen of sweat on Sekunit's face. He had helped patch it up enough times to know that that tended to be more of a sign of stress than exertion. A cold chill wanted to run down his own neck. What could have made it that afraid? An image file dropped into their feed. It was a still frame of a man walking through the transit area of Preservation Station. He looked to be about middle-aged, with pale skin and thinning blonde hair. He had a backpack cinched high on his shoulders and a duffel bag in one hand. "Who is that?" Rati asked. The sudden data dump into the feed made Guntherin blink heavily as he tried to sort it into something less overwhelming. The man was Aeolus Kao, age 45, no spouses or dependents, citizenship requests documented and pending. At first glance, all the information was that of a standard immigrant to preservation, another traveler seeking refuge from life in the Corporation Rim. He had a long work history in the Rim on file. In fact, that was it. The name of the company within which Sekunit had been formerly enslaved, and a long documented work history as a construct technician. "Is he here for you?" Guntherin asked Sekunit. Rati glanced between them both. Its face worked through a complicated series of emotions. "I don't know yet." "What has he done since he arrived?" "Signed up for housing and wandered around. Now he's ordering food." Hang on. Rati pinched the bridge of his nose. Guntherin could relate. He also wished Sekunit didn't always process things at blistering speeds. "Why would your former company blatantly send one of their techs here and not even try to hide it? If they were sending someone after you, wouldn't they try to be more subtle?" If the space between Sekunit's brows furrowed any deeper, its face was going to be split into two. Its mouth turned down and twisted in a way that, in humans, usually preceded tears. It chewed on its words before finally spitting them out. "You're right. I overreacted. Everything's fine." It didn't close the door, but it turned so it was further inside the bathroom with its back against the wall. "Yeah, it was several trains of thought ahead while he and Rati were still at the station." The whiplash was making his head spin. Rati looked no more enlightened. In the mirror above the sink, Guntherin watched Sekunit slide its back down the wall until it was seated on the floor. After a beat, Rati also folded himself cross-legged on the floor, his back against the doorframe, so he was facing out towards Guntherin. "I don't think you're overreacting." Sekunit's voice sounded muffled when it spoke. It probably had its head tucked down into its arms. "I'm just being fucking stupid. Forget about it." "What makes you say that?" Rati glanced at one of the drones. "There's a 97.4% chance that he's here as a real immigrant. There's a 58.1% chance he doesn't even know I'm here." Okay, so a less than 3% chance that this man was an active threat. If there was something to be done, Sekunit would have already raced from the room. So, that was good. Things were fine, yeah? But his heart didn't agree yet, because it continued with its quickened beats. Rati chewed his lip again. "Still, maybe there's something we can look into. We can contact Pin Lee and..." "He's allowed to be here," Sekunit said. There's no reason why he can't be here. There was a vein visible in Rati's forehead. He seemed to be fighting back words. He and Gunthryn looked at each other. Gunthryn imagined they were thinking similar things. Is this really just a coincidence? He was complicit in slavery. What horrors does the job construct technician entail? It's wrong. It shouldn't be allowed. But it was. Whatever history Sekun had with this Aeolus Keiho, it was likely all completely legal in the Corporation Rim. He had as much legal right to enter Preservation Space as anyone, presumably. He pulled up the private channel between himself and Sekunet. He drafted a brief message for Pin Lee and flagged it for Sekunet's approval. Gunthryn. I won't send it if you don't want me to. Sekunet. I don't care. Gunthryn. That's not a yes or no. Sekunet. Sigil dot raised middle finger. Gunthryn. Also not a yes or no. Sekunet. Fine. Sekunet. Yes. Gunthryn. Okay. He sent off the message, but he was fairly certain Pin Lee was in the middle of a deposition, so might not respond for a while. He sent another message to Rati to keep him in the loop. Sekunet, Rati said. While we wait, would you like to move back over to the couch? I bet it's not comfortable in there. It didn't respond. Pin Lee was sometimes in those meetings for a long time. How long would it be? An hour? More? Gunthryn imagined Sekunet staying where it was, curled in a ball on a hard tile floor for hours. He was pretty sure it would do it. According to the literature he'd read, this was an automatic response to disassociate from painful feelings. Panic had played its part, and now the curtains were closing on the stage. And what usually came after that? Depression? They'd all like to avoid that, thanks. He wished that Dr. Mensa was available. She was the Sekunet de-escalation expert. Then he felt immediately guilty for wanting to pass this issue off to someone else. Dr. Mensa was planetside, taking a well-deserved vacation with her family. No, he and Rati were here. They could handle it. Probably. He wasn't going to join the other two on the floor because it would fuck with his knees, but he leaned against the doorframe and crossed his arms. He looked down at the top of Rati's head. Sekunet was in his peripherals. Its arms hugged its knees tightly to its chest. I've got an idea. Let's use one of your fake IDs to book different lodging on the station. We'll lay low while we wait to hear from her. It was probably, hopefully, an unnecessary, cautious measure. But if Sekunet was shutting down, that left Gunthryn as the natural replacement to step in and take on the most paranoid bastard in the room role. Plus, housing on Preservation was free, so they lost nothing by doing so. Sekunet was quiet long enough that he thought it simply wasn't going to respond again. It didn't move. It just softly said, okay. Okay, great. That was something, even if he hated when its voice got small and timid like that. Do you want to book it or should I? He asked. It paused. I just did. Lodging details dropped into the feed. It was so damn fast. How quickly could it draft up a research report on its own without him and Rati slowing its progress? Great. Then let's go. Rati shook his head at him for being brusque, but took Gunthryn's offered hand to pull him to his feet. Sekunet unfolded into standing and moved to the bathroom doorway again. It stared between them at the baseboard of the far wall. It seemed a cruel irony of the universe that it was too tall and broad-shouldered to feasibly duck behind either of them to hide. Its posture was as perfect as ever, but he got the sense it was desperately wishing to fade into invisibility. Or maybe he was just projecting again. Ratzi's hands made another aborted movement, like he was fighting against his impulses to reach out and touch. He was a hugger, that one. He wisely chose to shove his hands into his pockets and glanced around the room. Okay, are we ready? Anyone need anything? Oh! He bustled over to the tables and chairs and tidied up their cold mugs. He shoved his hands back into his pockets. Okay, now I'm ready. SecUnit took the lead as they walked through the station, though it remained silent both verbally and over the feed. It probably had 1,000 mechanical eyes locked onto that company tech's every move, and sophisticated hacks erasing every trace of their own progress. There was nothing for him or Ratti to do but walk. It didn't seem right that, even when they were trying to be helpful, they still had to rely on SecUnit for the heavy lifting. He had started reading up on trauma after speaking with Barjwaj. How much did SecUnit understand about its own responses? He remembered how it had been on the gunship, trying to haul itself upright on a busted leg, eyes wide and desperate. He remembered Dr. Mensa planting her much more fragile human body in the doorway to protect it. Their humanity had always been a flimsy protection against the cruelty of the Corporation Rim. It had to know that better than anyone. Was it trauma, when you knew exactly how tenuous your safety really was? The room they finally reached was smaller than typical, intended only for brief stays. Instead of a lounge and kitchenette with separate bedrooms, the main area hosted two wide beds facing a display screen. There was a desk and chair in one corner, a counter with a sink and some basic food prep items, and a door into a bathroom on the opposite wall. "This is cozy," Ratti commented optimistically. "First available," SecUnit mumbled. It snatched a pillow from one of the beds and collapsed atop the duvet. It curled into a fetal position with the pillow crushed against its chest and face. Its heavy boots were still on its feet. How Gunthryn's first mother would have scolded it for that if she were here. Under less bleak circumstances, he might have laughed to himself at the mental image of his mother in all her 4'9" glory, wagging a stern finger up at its baffled face. Ratti poked around the counter space in search of snacks. He hunted down a prepackaged bag of cookies and retreated to the chair by the desk. He sat and kicked one foot up onto the edge of SecUnit's bed. 3 shoes on that duvet. Somewhere, Gunthryn's poor mother was weeping. Gunthryn himself settled onto the edge of the second bed. He reopened the report draft in his feed and closed it just as quickly. There was nothing better to do, but he doubted his ability to focus. He was too keyed up. "Any updates?" he asked. SecUnit pinged him back a negative. He glanced around the room. There was nothing to catch his eye. The only sound was the crinkling of Ratti's snack package. The display screen on the wall was plenty large, but SecUnit hadn't thrown anything up on it to play. Maybe it was active in its own feed, but it was, as far as he could tell, just laying there. The quiet was too heavy. The foil crinkling crashed like thunder on his ears. Like, fuck constructs didn't have emotions when the depressive weight of one SecUnit's apathy-wrapped terror was enough to crush the air out of a room. Gunthryn rubbed at the space behind his jaw, where metal augment met skin. Well, he knew of one extremely safe bet for livening up the sound waves in the room. He activated the display screen on the wall and selected The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. He'd never watched it himself, so he scrolled through and selected an episode at random. No! Rati groaned. Skip a few episodes ahead, will you? This arc is a drag. It is not, Sekunet muttered. Really? You don't mind the vying for a promotion plotline? Even though they did the same thing in season two. He didn't deserve the promotion, Sekunet said, words slightly muffled from being spoken into a pillow. After the shit they pulled with Uzoshi? Uzoshi was an asshole. They lied about Thandi's intellectual property rights on the project. Rati rolled his eyes playfully. I always forget you're an Eden apologist. Your opinions are bad, Sekunet told him through the pillow. Rati smiled and ate a cookie. Fine, we can watch it, but I'm going to convince you that you're wrong. Sekunet gave a dismissive huff, but its face partially emerged from behind its pillow shield and angled towards the display surface. Gunthryn raised his eyebrows at the two of them and hit play on the episode. Rati caught his eye and gave him a small, self-satisfied smile. Ah, the clever bastard. Engaging over shared media had always been a surefire way to get it to open up a little. Gunthryn arranged a pillow against the headboard and settled in more comfortably. There was nothing to do but wait. It was time to see what the hell the two of them saw in this show. They watched two episodes and were just passing the opening credit sequence on a third when he received a response from Pin Lee. Pin Lee. Looking into precedent. Stand by. Gunthryn. Holding. Thanks. Pin Lee. Just don't hold your breath, too. Fuck this guy, but, like... Gunthryn. Yeah, I know. After four episodes, Sekunet's posture had loosened out of a defensive ball. The pillow was now under his head the typical way. One boot dangled off the edge of the bed. Gunthryn had, despite his best intentions, found himself getting pulled into the show. He'd reopened their report and accomplished only a few lackluster sentences in between getting distracted by the on-screen drama. Just to be contrary, he said Bao should have gotten the promotion, and briefly united Rati and Sekunet in berating his terrible judgment. It was the most emotion he'd seen out of Sekunet in hours. He took that as a good sign. A call request came through their shared feed from Pin Lee. Sekunet paused the current Sanctuary Moon episode and put her call up on the screen. Her hair was pulled back into a very tight braid, and her face bore its customary on-the-clock scowl. I have answers, but you won't like them, she said. Let's get over with, then, Gunthryn replied. First, Sekunet, what's your take on why Kao is here? Do you think he's legit? There is a 99.7% chance. On the screen, Pin Lee rubbed her forehead. That's what I thought. His documentation is pristine. There's nothing there that would be cause to reject his citizenship application. The closest thing I could find to precedent to get him gone is a restraining order sort. But those have limited distant limits and would require submitting proof to a judge. And if the proof is just a guy doing his job in the CR, no matter if it's grim, it likely won't have much power to persuade. Do you have any proof? Rati asked Sekunet. Of him breaking some kind of law or... Or what? Gunthryn thought. Torturing constructs, cackling like a supervillain in one of Sekunet's shows? They were grasping at air, and he knew it, and it irritated him. The reality of Sekunet's history with this former construct tech was likely far more banal, and, in an odd way, it made him want to know the details even less. Zuckunit pursed its lips. It shook its head. Pinley sighed. From a legal perspective, we're at a dead end. Sorry. She paused. Zuckunit, how secure is this call? Its answer was an offended frown. Okay, shit. Just checking. Listen, from a non-legal perspective, what if some edits mysteriously happened to his papers? There are lots of other perfectly nice non-CR polities out there. I'm sure he could find one he likes. Rati's face couldn't seem to settle on looking either scandalized or amused. Personally, Gunthryn liked what she was thinking. Zuckunit rolled onto its back and looked up at the ceiling. I don't own the polity, it said. The seeming non sequitur made them glance at each other. Pinley's brows pinched.
Yeah?
She prompted. I don't own preservation, it told the ceiling. I can't kick out everyone I don't like. Gunthryn felt a flash of anger in his chest. He bit the inside of his cheek to keep from saying the first thing that came to mind. He knew it was right, and he hated that. It was such a reasonable thing to say. He wanted to shake it. We've worked so hard to help you feel safe here, he wanted to tell it. Feeling safe in your own home isn't a waste of time or effort. Fight for yourself for once. Briefly, he wished it was slightly more the cold, unfeeling killer he had first assumed it to be. The type that might take matters into its own hands and make one former employee of a company that dealt in slavery disappear. But that was a terrible thing to think, and it shamed him to admit that Zuckunit, despite having had a lifetime of horror inflicted upon it, was a better person than he would ever be. It was easy to look at the still frame of Aeolus Kehoe, a complete stranger, and feel high and mighty. But at the end of the day, despite their objections, their survey team had still accepted the bond agreement and taken on Zuckunit as another piece of equipment. Just because things had worked out okay, that didn't erase the fact that they had been complicit in its mistreatment, too. While he sat and stewed, Pinley looked deep in thought. She pinched the end of her braid and brushed the tail absent-mindedly across her cheek. Okay, how about this? His application request is for planet-side residence. I think it would be pretty simple to make sure he gets accepted to someplace far away, like another continent far away. There are some beautiful locations in the other hemisphere. Rati smirked. Gunthryn silently begged Zuckunit to agree. That could work, it said. I think it could, Pinley agreed. Up to you if you want to go for it or not. Obviously, this conversation never happened. I'll think about it, Zuckunit said. It glanced briefly at the screen. Thanks. Pinley looked surprised and mollified. It didn't say things like please or thank you often. Sure thing. Talk to you all later. She ended the call. The room was quiet again, though not heavy in the way it had been before. Rati looked full of words and ready to burst. Zuckunit lay there, blinking upward. Gunthryn waited a minute to see if either of them were going to say something. When there was nothing, he pulled back up their latest episode of Sanctuary Moon so they could continue where they left off. Before he could hit play, Zuckunit said, "We don't have to stay here." "I know." It did its best to glare at him without moving, though the angle was all wrong. He's back in the embarkation zone. His transport leaves in 14 minutes. Gunthryn shrugged at the screen, where Thandi's face was paused in a rictus of histrionic fury. There's only 17 minutes of the episode left. I'm in no rush.
Me either, Rati chimed in.
He stood and stretched. Although this chair is no good for my back. Gunthryn, budge over. Sekunit scowled suspiciously in their general direction as Rati made a show of shoving Gunthryn over onto one side of the bed and cozying himself atop the other. But it didn't protest when Gunthryn finally hit play. The episode played through to the end, and the next one started. Rati drifted off to sleep at some point, and Gunthryn didn't notice until a snuffly snore near his elbow made him jump. He hadn't meant to actually get pulled into the show, but it seemed like they were about to find out who Avanti's baby's other biological parent was. Where do I buy a fruit basket? Sekunit asked out of nowhere. He stomped down his immediate inclination to ask, why the fuck do you need a fruit basket? And thought about it. I think there's a florist on the second floor of the mall. They might make those. Okay. As unenlightening as ever, he had curbed so many conversational impulses today. He let himself have this one. Why? I need an appropriate apology gift for station security. Gunthryn was certain he'd never seen anyone receive a fruit basket outside of media, which actually answered at least one of his questions about where Sekunit was drawing its conclusions from. I don't think station security will want a fruit basket. A card may be more appropriate. What are you apologizing for? I promised I wouldn't hack into their systems. Oh. He hadn't really stopped to consider the logistics of how it was keeping track of Keho, or what agreements it may have violated to do so. He wished it wasn't so damn honest and noble about upholding its own side of the deal. It would be so much easier to just not tell them anything. But then, he didn't really want to drag Sekunit down to his own moral level. I've never written a card before, Sekunit added, which was its way of requesting feedback. It's straightforward. You apologize for what you did wrong and promise not to do it again. Sekunit was quiet. Then it sent a block of text to his feed. Senior Officer Inda and the rest of station security. I'm sorry I panicked and hacked into your security system. I operated a shit ton of station cameras, even though I said I wouldn't. I promise not to do it again unless I panic or unless I really need to for an actual important reason. Sekunit. Well, it had followed his specifications to the letter. He knew what his grasp of etiquette was worth, and even he could tell this wasn't going to cut it. It's a good start, he said. But maybe we wait until Rati wakes up. The end. Thank you for listening.